Hey, beautiful people. It's Al Martin, your host of WKAR's Current Sports. And before we begin today's show, we would like to dedicate this hour to Williamston High School varsity boys basketball coach Jason Bauer, who is now out indefinitely after physicians earlier this week discovered two brain tumors. We can only imagine what the entire city of Williamston is going through right now, what that school is going through right now, and what that team is going through right now as the Williamston Hornets will play in the district championship game facing number 3 Lansing Catholic tonight at Fowlerville High School. Coach Bauer, we are thinking about you, and we are hoping for a speedy recovery.
From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We've got a great one in store for all of you out there. Of course, the Big Ten men's basketball tourney is now embarking on third round play, and the Michigan Wolverines are in action as we speak. Yes, they are taking on the champions of the Big Ten regular season, the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll give you guys a score update and a lot on the line for the Wolverines right now, because if they beat Indiana, really believe they make the tournament. If they lose, though, there are question marks, and they stay on the bubble. We'll give you guys a score update on that one. Also, Michigan State is in action today as well. At around 6:30 p.m., Michigan State will play Ohio State in its opening game of the Big Ten tournament. You don't want to miss that. We'll also be inviting Jeff Wanch to the show. He is the Okemos High School boys basketball head coach, and Jeff's team will take on Lansing Everett in the district championship. And on the back end of the show, we'll have Reflection Friday for you and debate about who is the National Player of the Year in the world of college hoops, Buddy Hield or Denzel Valentine. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Start with an update from last night's girls high school basketball regional championship action. East Lansing topped Jackson Northwest 56-52, of course, led by Taryn McCutcheon. Congratulations to Rob Smith and company. Hudsonville topped Muskegon Mona Shores 45-44 in a barn burner. St. John's topped Saginaw Heritage 46-43. Grand Rapids South Christian, they beat Portland 62-49. Ithaca beat Reese 68-45, and Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart beat Portland St. Patrick 41-24. Tonight, boys high school basketball district finals will take place. Local teams still alive are Okemos, Lansing Everett, East Lansing, Grand Ledge, Flushing, Leslie, Stockbridge, Lansing Catholic, of course Williamston playing with Heavy Hearts, Hastings, Portland, Langsburg, and Pawamo, Westphalia. Good luck to all of our local teams tonight. The Lansing Eastern Quakers bowling team dethroned two-time defending state champs Flint Kersley to become the school's first state title holder since the softball team, get this, in 1981. Are you kidding me? The first state championship for Lansing Eastern since the 80s. Eastern opened the Division II state bowling tournament with a victory over Sturgis, which won the state title in 2013, and followed up with a victory over conference champs Owosso. Congratulations to the Quakers. That's big news. In the second round of the Big Ten tournament in Indiana yesterday, the Michigan Wolverines, they beat the Northwestern Wildcats in a nail-biter that went to overtime, 72-70 the final. That one wrapped up as soon as we got off the air yesterday. Zach Irvin hit the game-deciding basket on a 15-foot jumper with 3 seconds left to play in overtime, and the on-the-bubble Wolverines are now underway in the Big Ten tournament against the Big Ten regular season champions, the Indiana Hoosiers. And right now at the half, it is halftime, the Hoosiers have a 1-point lead over Michigan, 37 36. Again, we'll keep you updated as the hour proceeds. The Ohio State men's basketball team, they topped Penn State yesterday, 79 to 75, I should say, in the Big Ten tournament, and will now play Michigan State tonight at 6:30 p.m. Michigan State enters the 2016 Big Ten tournament as the number 2 seed, having won 10 of its last 11 games. The Spartans are looking to capture their 5th Big Ten tournament championship. I want to remind you all that, hey, if Michigan State handles business tonight against Ohio State and they play into the weekend, Current Sports will be out there. Keep it locked to WKAR.org for our coverage. Retiring Detroit Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson is paying back part of his bonus salary. The Lions said in a statement released Tuesday that matters related to Johnson's contract were settled to the satisfaction of the parties. They declined further comment today. A person informed of Johnson's payback told the Detroit Free Press that it was done ahead of the 2016 league year. And the NFL Players Association records show that Johnson's $12.9 million cap hit for the season was reduced by $320,000 for a return of signing bonus from retirement. Now, Johnson paid back 10% of the $3.2 million, which was then credited back to the Lions' salary cap. Justin Albuquerque scored with 4 minutes and 36 seconds remaining in the third period to give the Detroit Red Wings a come-from-behind 3-2 win against the Winnipeg Jets at Joe Louis Arena on Thursday. Albuquerque had an assist, and Dylan Larkin and Jonathan Erickson scored for Detroit, which trailed 2-0 in the second period but ended a 3-game losing streak. Peter Mrazek made 23 saves. The Wings are at home tomorrow, hosting the New York Rangers at 2 p.m. The Detroit Pistons look to extend their win streak to 3 games when they hit the road tonight to take on the Charlotte Hornets at 7 p.m. Detroit, they sit at 33-31. They can move within 1.5 games of Charlotte in the tightly bunched Eastern Conference, currently holding down the 8th spot as we speak. The Pistons are hoping top scorer Reggie Jackson works his way out of some woes in which he is averaging 10 points on 25.6% shooting in his last 3 road games. He had a season low 4 on 2 of 9 shooting in a 104-84 loss at Charlotte on December 7th. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Here we go.
Seconds to go. Walton, the give. Irvin, the two.
3 seconds to play in overtime.
Zach Irvin, the 15-foot jumper has been the key for him.
John, how close was the game-winning shot that Zach Irvin made to the play you drew up?
It was exactly what we drew up. It's one of our easiest plays. You know, I go to Zach a lot. He hadn't been successful. I'm going to you one more time. I had a choice of him and a couple other people. He's been a big shot guy his whole life. We decided to draw him up, and he knocked it in.
John, congratulations. Good luck tomorrow against Indiana.
Thanks, Rick.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. That's right, you have made it. The weekend is upon you. And I tell you what, the birds are chirping. The sun is out. The sky is blue. The grass is growing. You gotta love spring, right? You gotta love it. It's supposed to be a fantastic weekend in mid-Michigan. I hope you guys have a great one. And we are so honored, wherever you are, you may be at work, you may be driving around in your car, or you may be max taxing and relaxing in the friendly confines of your house. But we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. We've got a hot one for you. A hot one for you, folks. Again, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And again, I just want to reiterate the statement that I made to start today's show. Again, our thoughts are with the Williamston community right now. Really shook up, as Williamston High School varsity boys basketball coach Jason Bauer, he is out indefinitely after physicians discovered two brain tumors. And he immediately had to be hospitalized, and he will not coach tonight in the district championship game. Again, Bauer has led Williamston to its fourth consecutive CAACY championship earlier this season, and the Class B number 10-ranked Hornets, they will play rival number 3-ranked Lansing Catholic at Fowlerville High School tonight. District championship on the line, and you talk about emotion. There's going to be a ton of emotion in that gym. I'm sure the Hornets players, they certainly want to pull this one out for their coach and deliver that trophy to the hospital. I tell you what, so just a lot of emotion there. And a very classy move from Lansing Catholic. They actually held a prayer service for Coach Bauer yesterday when they found out the news. So we want to dedicate this hour to Coach Bauer. And we wish you a speedy recovery, my friend. We're staying positive. We know you're going to shake this thing loose, all right? All right, folks, I want to give you guys an update. Big Ten tournament time. You got to love March Madness. There is nothing like it. Of course, all eyes right now are on the Michigan and Indiana game, and all ears are, of course, right here on Current Sports, all right? We hope you're listening as you're watching the game, if you do have an opportunity to do that. Michigan right now, if you're not watching it, Michigan right now, they are down by 2 points to the Indiana Hoosiers, 44-42 with 16:33 left to play. That game can be seen on ESPN. And if you're Michigan, and if you're a fan of the Wolverines, everything's on the line right now. Everything is on the line. That pulse has to be jumping right now. That heartbeat has just elevated, I'm sure, because in the eyes of many here, Michigan needs this win over Indiana to solidify a spot in this year's NCAA tournament. Of course, Election Sunday is coming right up, literally hours after the Big Ten Tourney Championship game is said and done, and it's finito and the dust is settled. The field will come out, and you can start filling out your bracket, and Michigan certainly wants to be in that number. But they need a win against Indiana. They are certainly on the bubble, folks. Right now, the locks in the Big Ten Conference, and last night I kind of just went through conference by conference, and, you know, I'm so analytical when it comes to the Big, well, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, because and the Big Ten tournament as well, because I'm always curious to see, you know, out of these conference tournament, you know, games, you know, those teams that are on the bubble, who can rise their stock, you know, high enough to really make an argument that they should be in the NCAA tournament. So last night, I actually went conference by conference and kind of put down my locks and my teams who are out for now. And I'm curious, do you guys think that Michigan deserves a spot in the NCAA tourney? And I want to know, who are your bubble teams? Who are your locks? Who are your number one seeds? Who do you got in the Final Four? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But look at just the Big Ten Conference here. Here's how my locks go, okay? Iowa for sure, even though Iowa, oh my goodness, the Iowa Hawkeyes, have they just teetered out or what? I mean, they look so good at the beginning of the Big Ten season. And then on the back half of the year, it was just awful, just bad to watch. Just so bad to watch. And right now, You know, before Thursday, it really appeared that the Big Ten Tournament quarterfinals will feature some of the strongest group of teams in tournament history, really. Six teams with an RPI in the top 30. How impressive is that? Instead, get this. I mean, Illinois upset Iowa. And I'm just sitting there watching that game, and I'm saying Fran McCaffrey has to be losing his mind right now. But anyway, Illinois upsetting Iowa yesterday. Nebraska knocking off Wisconsin. So four of the six thoroughbreds remain: Indiana, Michigan State, Maryland, and Purdue. All right, and again, Indiana taking on Michigan right now. Now, Michigan, that game started at noon. That game will be followed by Purdue and Illinois before the Spartans and Buckeyes. They tip off at 6:30 p.m., and then following that game, Maryland and Nebraska will cap off the night session. But for Michigan, again, right now, I believe that Michigan is out for now. If they beat Indiana, I think you can put them in. But Michigan, a 19-11 team, 68 RPI, the good. Here's the good for them. They've beaten Maryland. They've beaten Texas. They've beaten Purdue. The bad, when looking at bad losses, they haven't had really bad losses. They just haven't had any, like, marquee wins that really stand out. Okay, you know, Maryland, all right, Texas, Purdue, there's not been a big win. If they beat Indiana today, a Big Ten champion today, okay, then I think you can slide them in there. But again, they dodged a bullet yesterday in overtime against Northwestern. They could not afford an opening round loss in the Big Ten tournament. And I think the two wins, if they pull out this game against Indy, two wins might get the Wolverines in. What do you think? 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We actually have one, our good friend Mike from Saginaw. Mike, have not heard your voice in quite a while. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Up here in Saginaw, Heritage, the girls team lost last night, so your number one team on the girls side is not going to be in didn't make it out the district, so.
Oh, they lost. What was the score, you know?
46-43 to St. John's.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Yeah, well, St. John's, one of our local teams, they move on, though. But it's an exciting time, though. Around this time of the year, I mean, because not only do you have, as I just finished my spiel here with college basketball, but you have men and women's college basketball going on. But, you know, the high school tourneys are so intriguing, Mike. I mean, watching these kids go out and just play for the love of the game, and it's just fun to watch. It's my favorite time of the year in the sporting world. I love it.
Yes, it is. I mean, how you think of that Miles Bridges would feel? You know, even though he went to a prep school and stuff, I wonder how many of those prep kids really know about winning playing for a championship.
It's so hard to get there, though, Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so hard. You know, in high school hoops, and you got to realize basketball is not an individual sport. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to have good teammates around you if you want to make deep runs come tourney time. And you know, looking at guys like, you know, Miles Bridges and some of the top-tier players around the state. And also, I want to give a shout-out to Kersey Grandjic. She actually won the Gatorade Girls Basketball Player of the Year. She balls out in Benton Harbor. She had 72 points, a high school basketball record, 72 points earlier on in this year. I just wanted to give her a shout-out. I have not brought that up yet. And I actually saw Kersey. And it's so crazy because Kersey was sitting right next to Josh Jackson. Mm-hmm. Who is the big recruit that many Spartan fans are hoping will come to Michigan State and join guys like Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston, and that heralded class that Tom Izzo has, possibly his best in his entire tenure as the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. But sitting right next to Josh Jackson was Kersey, and I think they're really good friends, but want to give her a shout-out. But again, if you want to make deep runs in the tourney time, no matter what level of play, Mike, you have to have good players around you. So it's a rarity that you get a chance to go to a state championship. It's very tough.
That's what I'm talking about, the prep schools. Usually the prep schools, prep academies, and they don't play for state. A lot of the state associations won't let them play in their tournaments and everything. They just play for championships and stuff. I mean, some of them do, but a lot of the states, they don't like, that kind of basketball, you know, because that's like recruiting. That, you know how athletic associations don't like about recruiting. Here's what I got to ask you. If you're the number one seed, like Indiana or Temple or North Carolina, if you lose the first round game, you know, the first day that you play, is that an advantage or a disadvantage?
As far as on what end? An advantage for
right.
Who?
In the prep, in the in the postseason tournaments. You know, when you're playing in your conference for your conference postseason.
Oh, you're talking about for the conference tournament. If you lose on the first day,
yeah,
and you're a high seed, possibly a number one seed going
number
in,
number one or a number two, like Michigan State playing.
I gotta be honest with you, Mike. I think it's an advantage. And you know why I say that? It's because if you're already a lock for the NCAA tournament, and it's said that, okay, you're already a lock. But now I want to make this statement, though. If you are a projected number one seed going into a conference tournament weekend and you lose the first day of that conference tournament, I think you got to I think that the committee will reevaluate making that respective squad a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I want to make that known. But the reason why I say it's an advantage, because if you are a high seed and you lose the first game of your conference tournament, hey, who cares about the conference tournament? You're already in the NCAA tournament. It gives you more time to rest. It gives you more time with your team to get their mind right. Because Tom Izzo made this statement early on in this week, and I had asked him about preparation before an NCAA tournament. And Tom doesn't like how, as soon as the conference tourney championship game in the Big Ten is done, literally about, you know, an hour or two after the buzzer ends, the selection show starts.
Sure.
So you don't even have time to soak in that conference tournament championship. You have to immediately shift your attention and shift your focus to the big shebang, being the NCAA tourney.
Would you like to see a Valparaiso or Oakland University? Now, they lost in their semifinals. So
right.
You know, like, we're not talking about just the five mid-major conferences. We talking about those, like, Monmouth. They was a number one seed. They wind up losing too.
Yeah, and so, you look at Monmouth. I mean, 27-7. You know, they've beaten teams like USC, Notre Dame, UCLA, Georgetown, Ionia. And then you look at the bad, though. They lost against Canisius Army in Manhattan. So, catch 22. But I think you do put Monmouth in. And we had Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio on yesterday. I think the wins they've had, when you look at the good for them, USC, Notre Dame, you know, those are good teams.
What about Northern Iowa?
That's going to be an interesting one, because I think when you look at Northern Iowa's resume and you stack it up against other bubble teams, I think you can make a case, more of a case, for those other bubble teams. I don't know. That's a very interesting one. I haven't really dived into Northern Iowa.
Okay, then they got St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Gonzaga won, even though they're a two seed, and St. Mary's, you can tell I've been watching some of the tournament.
I see. You've been glued to your television, my friend.
But here's one more team about Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Even though Tennessee has got a 500, they wind up being Vanderbilt, and they've been talking about the Vanderbilt a lot, trying getting in the tournament. So I'm just curious, because you got, like, Holy Cross. They don't have a pre-500 record, and they made it to the tournament. So it's always a couple teams like that every year. But could you just imagine in a day that the NCAA tournament will increase or decrease the number of members? And I'll take it off the air, and thanks for letting me call you.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate your call. And I really think that they should just keep it like it is. I've always, you know, looked at the philosophy of the NCAA tourney like this. The ratings are up. They seem to be going up each and every year. People love it the way it is. Don't try to tinker around with it. Leave it just as it is. That's my thought on it. And going back to Mike's point about Northern Iowa, I mean, Northern Iowa, I mean, looking at their resume now, and I'm looking at some of the games they've won, I mean, they did beat number one, North Carolina. That's a pretty big win for Northern Iowa. So I think they may sneak in. But, you know, there's so many teams, though. When you look at, you know, teams that are on the bubble right now around the conference, going back to the Big Ten, again, I told you my locks are Iowa, Michigan State, Maryland, Purdue, Indiana, and Wisconsin. Those teams are certainly in, but, you know, a bubble team like Michigan, and give you guys a quick score update, second half, and get this, it's tied, 49-all. Michigan and Indiana are tied with 12:09 left to play in the game. But you look at a team like Ohio State, a team that Michigan State is playing tonight at 6:30. Ohio State, 19-12, a 76 RPI. The good, they've beaten Kentucky, they beat Iowa. The bad, though, they lost to Texas Arlington, Memphis, and Louisiana Tech. I think that Ohio State certainly is in if they beat Michigan State tonight. I think that'd be a no-brainer. Michigan State, a projected number one seed by many, if you know, coming out of the tournament. I don't know, because you look at Michigan State. I think that if they win tonight, and you can look at this. This is very interesting as well. Just entertain this thought for a second. If Michigan State wins tonight, they certainly have a strong case to be a number one seed in the NCAA tourney. But let's say Ohio State upsets Michigan State, just for kicks and giggles here. Are they really a number one seed going into the NCAA tourney? Because I don't believe they are. I don't know. And that's where the conference tourney can hurt you or it could benefit you. I don't know. It's a catch-22. Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And a few bubble teams I wanted to bring up. You know, Vanderbilt, you know, they lost to Tennessee in the opening round of their respective conference tournament yesterday. So they're a question mark. Temple is another team that everyone's bringing up right now. Whether or not Temple deserves to be in the NCAA tourney, they lost to East Carolina in Memphis, but they've beaten SMU, UConn, not once but twice, and Tulsa. A lot of people are looking at VCU as another team with a question mark next to its respective name, and they think that they may be out. And Valparaiso, you look at Valparaiso, they went 24-6. The good, they beat Oregon State. The bad, losses to Wright State, Ball State, and Green Bay. So it's gonna be interesting. You know, I would hate. I can only imagine what that room is like when you sit down and have to go region by region, team by team, and sort out who's in and who's out. Of course, Michigan State Athletic Director, he's been a part of the committee for a few years now, and he has given us insight as to what goes down in that room. And it's pretty interesting because, of course, with Mark Hollis having a direct connection to the Spartans, to Michigan State, him being the athletic director and all, whenever Michigan State is discussed, he actually has to leave the room. He has no input. He can't provide any insight or any argument as to, you know, what region Michigan State should play in, what seed they should be, so on and so forth. So really briefly, again, I sat down and went kind of conference by conference and looked at my locks. In the, you know, the American Athletic Conference, you know, locks for me are Cincinnati. Out for now, I don't know about UConn. I don't know about UConn. Again, they've beaten Texas, Tulsa, SMU. Really no bad losses to date, though. Tulsa, that's another team you can bring up, 20-10. Beating Wichita State, UConn, SMU, Temple, lost to Oral Roberts and Memphis. How about the ACC? Virginia, North Carolina, Miami, Notre Dame, Duke, Pittsburgh, locks for me. On the bubble, though, Syracuse, 19-13. They've beaten Texas A&M, Duke, Notre Dame, St. Bonaventure, UConn, and Florida State. They've lost to St. John's, Georgetown, and Clemson. So, I don't know. The Orange, you know, wait and hope other bubble teams lose so that they may can inch their way in, but they aren't a lock at all. The Atlantic 10, you know, I don't know about any locks. You know, maybe Dayton gets in out of that conference. The Big East, Villanova, Xavier, Seton Hall, Providence, and Butler are locks for me. Really like Villanova and Xavier. Really like those two teams. I really think they both can make deep runs come NCAA tourney time. Big 12, locks Oklahoma, Kansas, Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas, Baylor, and Texas Tech for me. And then you look at the Pac-12 conference. Oregon, USC, Utah, they actually beat USC yesterday in the Pac-12 tournament, Arizona, California, and Colorado. I think those teams get in. On the bubble, Washington, you know, 18-13. They beat USC, Texas, and Colorado, Oregon State maybe. Another question mark there. What about the SEC? Texas A&M, Kentucky, you got to put them in. Got to put those two in, I think. On the bubble, though, Vandy, Florida, and Alabama, maybe. I don't know. Vandy, 19-12. They've beaten Texas A&M, Florida, twice, Alabama, Stony Brook, and get this, Kentucky. Vandy did beat Kentucky. Don't forget about that. And again, I've talked about Monmouth. Wichita State is another bubble team. San Diego State, they beat California. Wichita State, they've beaten Utah and Northern Iowa. And I don't know. Valpo is on the fringe. I don't think they get in, though. St. Mary's, nah. Little Rock is another team everybody's bringing up. I don't know. So it gets crazy, though. I mean, just diving into that mindset, though. I mean, which teams do you choose? And which bubble teams have an edge over other bubble teams. That's another thing you got to look at. So, all right, folks, let's hit our first break again. Quick update. Michigan has a 2-point lead over Indiana. 10:02 left to play. 53-51. Wolverines on top. When we come back, we will be chatting with Jeff Wanch, who is the head boys basketball coach at Okemos High School. Don't miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
You listen to Current State because you want to be informed about the world around you. That's why we bring you thoughtful conversations on topics that matter, like early childhood education.
We know that lack of quality preschool education is one of the biggest indicators to underperformance for low-income students.
I'm Current State producer April Van Buren. Tune in for your daily dose of information and entertainment weekdays at 9 and 6 on 90.5 WKAR.
Keeping the Supreme Court fight out of the election doesn't keep the Supreme Court fight out of the election.
Any nominee submitted in the middle of this presidential campaign isn't getting confirmed. Everybody knows that.
The GOP stance could be having unexpected consequences back home. That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to pass this news along to you all. Johnny Manziel, that's right, Johnny Football, he is no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns. In a move that was really no surprise, we all know about the strained relationship that Johnny Football has had when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, the partying antics, the demeanor with the squad. He was the 22nd overall selection by the Browns in 2014, if you remember. Their second of two first-round draft picks that year, but his two seasons in Cleveland were just really marred by drama. Just drama. That's the only word I can come up with to describe this whole thing. It was greeted with excitement. I remember when Johnny Football was first drafted to the Cleveland Browns, it was around the same year that LeBron announced, you know, his return to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then you had Johnny Football and LeBron playing in the same city. Oh, my goodness. Cleveland was celebrating. But then, yeah, his off-the-field issues just were question marks. Question marks. He spent 10 weeks in rehab after his rookie season and is the subject of a grand jury investigation in Dallas into whether or not he assaulted his former girlfriend. And the NFL is investigating whether Manziel is violated. Whether he violated, I should say, the personal conduct policy in that incident. So just it's just really sticky, really sticky icky. So saw that one coming. But get this, Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, he wants to play in Cleveland for new Browns coach Hugh Jackson. The Browns have lost five players through free agency and some players over the past couple of weeks, including Johnny Manziel. And Kaepernick is embracing the idea of playing for the Browns, according to ESPN's own Adam Schefter. They have had trade conversations. To date, the Browns have expressed more interest than the Broncos, who have been really slowly playing with their interest in Colin Kaepernick so far. So maybe we see Colin Kaepernick in a Cleveland Browns jersey next year. How interesting would that one be? We all know about the stint that Colin Kaepernick has had with the 49ers these past few years. It has not been pretty. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We haven't had him on in quite some time. Excited to have him back on here. His name is Jeff Wanch. He is the Okemos High School boys basketball coach, and his Chiefs will play in the district championship tonight. Against Lansing Everett. It's a pleasure to have him on. Jeff Wanch, welcome to the show. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Al.
Always great. It's always great hearing your voice, my man. First off, I want to, you know, get your thoughts on when you heard about the situation concerning Williamston head boys basketball coach Jason Bauer and the discovery of brain tumors. Did you hear about this story, Jeff?
Yes, I did. I heard it yesterday, and I was just in shock. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, you know, when a school goes through something like that, and I think a lot of people forget, you know, especially media pundits, when covering, you know, schools, whether it be football or basketball, any sport, throughout the year, we forget that this is a school. It's a community. You know, what's it like just being a part of a school community and just sort of diving into that situation out in Williamson? What do you think that basketball team and that community is going through right now?
Yeah, and you know, if they found out anyway, the same way I found out, I'm sure they were all just shocked. Just you know how young he is. He's the same age as me or close to it, and just to hear about you know something so life altering like that. Just like any great community, I'm sure they're rallying and you know supporting the family, and you know just trying to do whatever they can to help and support each other as well. Because I'm sure there's the whole team. I can imagine how shocked they all were. But I can tell you from just the coaching perspective, I've already talked to just a handful of coaches in the area, and we're trying to figure out ways to rally and support as well. So it's just one of those things where you figure out, you know, we're all competing against each other, you know, all winter long, and then something like this happens, and it's nice to see everyone kind of rally and support him in this tough situation.
Jeff, have you had any interactions with Jason? Have they been limited? Do you know him at all?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I know him really well. You know, I know him through coaching.
Right, right.
Even when I was a player, when I played at Bath, I remember playing against him when he was playing at Williamston. And he comes to our scrimmages, and we work together a lot on, you know, just sharing game films and things like that. And he's just, you can just tell with every interaction I've ever had with him, he's just a great person. And, you know, we're all hoping and pulling for him.
Yes, thoughts and prayers certainly go out to the Williamston community. All right, let's talk some hoops now, Jeff. You've beaten Jackson Northwest and Jackson to now play in the district championship game tonight. You said the win against Jackson might have been the best your team has played all year. Jeff, is your team peaking right now?
Yeah, you know, I certainly hope so. It was definitely, that performance was definitely one of the best performances we've had all season. And it's great to see it just because we're pretty young. We've got a lot of sophomores, and even some of the seniors that have stepped up a lot this year didn't necessarily play a ton the year before. So we've kind of been inconsistent, and it's nice to see guys coming through during district time. So excited to step into this championship tonight.
Jeff, what made that win against Jackson, again, a 66-60 final, what made that win so satisfying?
Well, you know, anytime, and I'm sure all coaches would agree to this, where you've been beat twice by them in the regular season, and then you're getting a chance, you know, a third shot at them, and you find a way to get them, find a way to get it done. It's pretty gratifying. And it, what I told the guys was, you know, you can see what we're capable of, you know, if we can all be on the same page on the same night. And so I think it's a huge confidence builder, and we're kind of in the same situation tonight. Everett beat us two close games. They got us by 3 points the first time we played and by 1 point the second time. So we know we're right there. We just need to take that big step.
That was a great segue into my next question, Jeff. Again, lost twice to Lansing Everett, you know, kind of the same song against Jackson, but only by a combined, again, total of 4 points in those two losses. What has the preparation been like for this one in the past day?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a balancing act because we haven't played three games in a week all season long. So I kind of told the guys, you know, we'll go over some of the things that are the most important, but at the same time, we got to make sure we have fresh legs and be ready to go. So there was a lot of mental preparation and even walking through some stuff. But by now, you know, they know what we're good at and we know what they're good at. It's just, you know, whether we're going to play the way we need to play when the time comes.
Yeah, Jeff, and on the same conversation of preparation, again, when you only have one day to really prep for a game, you know, you guys aren't really going hard in practice, are you? Do you give you guys a day off, again, to keep those fresh legs?
Yeah, you know, we do go hard. It's just for a really short period.
Okay,
and, you know,
gotcha.
Just to kind of get the point across about what we need to do, and then from then on, it's walkthrough and, you know, watching some game film just so they can be on top of it, the mental side, too.
Now, what has it been about those two losses in crunch time against Lansing Everett that left your team on the short end of things?
You know, we found ourselves in a situation where, you know, we just really needed to finish the game, and we didn't come up with a play that finished the game, and Everett did, and you know, and they earned those ones, and you know, especially to Myron Jackson for them, he's so good, so he's definitely a guy that has our focus tonight, and we know that things can go our way, and if we are to make those plays, especially at the end of the game.
How do you go about slowing down Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, that's definitely easier said than done, because he's one of those guys where, you know, you'll think you'll be containing him for a little while, and then, you know, he'll just go off and hit four threes right in a row. He scored, the first time we played, he scored 2 points in the first half and 19 in the second half. So he's kind of one of those guys that just kind of, you know, he gets heated up and he gets in the moment and momentum starts going his way. So it's never over with him. And we know, you know, every single play, there's got to be an eye on him.
Who primarily guards him throughout the game? Who we will see, you know, matched up against Jackson tonight?
Well, it'll be Chaz. It'll be our best player, our best defender. And,
right.
You know, he's kind of just our workhorse. He's one of those guys we really can't take out of the game for very long. And he'll do a great job tonight. I think he's up for the challenge, and he's due for some breaks to go our way.
Jeff Wanch, Okemos High School boys basketball head coach. Now, Jeff, for those that haven't seen the Chiefs play this year, what kind of team, what sort of personality does your team has, and what's the identity of your squad this year, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I think if we were to pick an identity, I would say just really unselfish. Last game against Jackson, I was really proud of the way things worked out. You know, we had just a decent amount of assists, and our scoring, we were 2 points away from having six guys in double digits. It was just spread out. It was a team effort. So we're just a team that when we're playing really well, it means we're sharing the ball and just using each other. It's definitely not a one-man show by any means. So it's an unselfish team.
Jeff, I got to know, how loud is the redemption song playing a factor here in this game? Are you vocal about, you know, firing up your squad, you know, reminding them that, hey, this is a squad, this is a Vikings team that beat us twice this year, we got to get them here? Are you very loud and vocal about that to motivate your squad coming into this one?
Yeah, you know, we talk about it, and as coaches, we're looking for anything to motivate our guys, and but at the same time, we're to the point where in districts, you're playing for a district championship, and if you feel like you have to motivate your guys, we probably have some team issues. You know, they want to play and they want to win, and they know Jackson has gotten us twice, and you know, a couple of times we feel like, you know, we had our shot. So to have another shot at him is just really exciting.
Jeff, what's the most challenging part? The most challenging component about preparing for March Madness, and once you're in the fire, I mean, what's the toughest part about this sort of grind of the year?
Honestly, with my team this year, I think it's at certain points in the game, calming them down, just, you know, relaxing them and keeping them focused on what they need to do, because they're fired up. They're excited. They want to do everything right, and sometimes they get ahead of themselves and just need to relax and take that breath and understand that it's just about executing every play and winning the next play and knowing that not every play is going to be, you know, work out the best, and just being able to bounce back from adversity and do everything you need to do that good teams do. So
I love asking this question, Jeff. What's your coaching staff like? Because, again, it takes a village. It certainly does. What sort of components of your coaching staff allow you guys to be so good?
So we have an unbelievable coaching staff. All of them have their roles, and all of them, you know, just do a great job of, you know, supporting me, supporting every player. If a player makes a mistake and they're coming out for any reason, they always have a coach right there explaining things to them and, you know, helping them out and getting them pumped up to go back in and do things right. And as a cohesive staff, you know, I don't know if I've ever been a part of anything that's been more cohesive than what we have right now. It's just a bunch of coaches having a lot of fun and teaching kids the right way.
You know, Jeff, you guys went overall in the conference year 4-10. 9-13 overall. Are you a bit surprised that your team sits right here in this moment competing for a district championship now, or did you see this coming?
You know, not surprised, because, you know, like I said, being young, it was hard. I told guys that, you know, for a long time we were a sometimes team. You know, sometimes we would do the work, and sometimes we would, you know, block out. And sometimes we would take care of the ball. And as soon as we became an all-the-time team, we were going to be pretty good. So it was nice. We'd see glimpses of it, you know, throughout the season. But it's nice to see things coming together here at the end.
All right, Jeff. Well, we want to wish you good luck tonight. Again, Lansing Everett versus Okemos, a 7 p.m. tip time for the district championship. Jeff Watch, head coach of the Okemos High School boys basketball team. Jeff, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, Al.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will now talk about National Player of the Year honors. Buddy Hield or Denzel Valentine? You'll get to hear what exactly Buddy Hield did last night. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, I must say. And also, you know it's Friday, so we'll have Reflection Friday on tap, as well as take your calls. 517-355-9527. We'll be right back.
Tuesday's GOP primary in Florida is a must-win for home state Senator Marco Rubio. Donald Trump's campaign is also organizing volunteers on the ground.
Usually we do a contest for, you know, whoever the person in each county that does the most calls, then they get a meeting with Donald Trump.
More on the complicated ground game in Florida later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered today at 4 on 90.5 WKAR.
Hi, I'm Aaron Alney. On the next To the Point, Trump and Sanders may be in different political parties, but they sound the same when it comes to foreign trade deals like NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
How stupid is that trade policy?
But even if some jobs disappear, mainstream Democrats and Republicans say big trade deals are what America needs in the global economy. Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
To the Point, this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, I feel like I'm having deja vu. This is exactly what happened during the waning minutes of yesterday's show. Of course, yesterday we were giving you guys an update throughout the entire hour on the Michigan and Northwestern game. That, of course, went to overtime. Michigan barely pulling that game out as we played to start our show. Zach Irvin hitting what eventually became the game winner. Oh, boy, just a great game, a great basketball game. And we have the same between the Wolverines yet again as they are taking on the Big Ten regular season champion, Indiana Hoosiers. Get this. It is all tied at 61 with exactly 4 minutes left to play. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Just a quick riddle down of the stats. Mark Donnell, he's 6-for-6 with 12 points. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, love that name, 6-of-12. He's got 15. Zach Irvin, he's been a man, 5-of-12 for 17 points. So those have been the big horses for this squad. Derek Walton Jr., really struggling. I'm not sure. Let me see how many personal. He's only got one personal foul, so I'm curious. But he's got 11 assists. Okay, I had to look at it, at his complete stat line here. He's got 0 points, 0-of-3 from the field. So he's only taken 3 shots, but he's got 11 assists. That's pretty impressive. 2 steals as well, so playing defense also. For Indiana, Trey Williams, he leads the charge for the Hoosiers. 4 of 11 from the field, 1 of 3 from the three-point line, 14 points. And Kevin Farrell, Yogi is what they call him, 4 of 9 from the field, 9 points for him, 1 of 4 from the three-point line. He has 9. So this is going to be very, very interesting. So tie game right now, 3:30 left now in that game. Wow. Crazy stuff. Again, if Michigan wins, I think you can put them in the NCAA tournament. But if they fall, oh boy, I think the bubble may have bursted. Call in to be a part of today's show. About 10 minutes left here. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, folks. This is a conversation that we've had before here on our airwaves, but it gets more and more interesting as the weeks pass by. Buddy Hield and Denzel Valentine are certainly the top two names when it comes to the National Player of the Year award. Those, it comes down to those two guys, because they from top to bottom, when looking at their statistics and comparing that to the direct success to their respective teams, those two players have done it better than anyone in the country. And I was so intrigued to check out last night's Oklahoma and Ohio State game, because I believe that if Buddy Hield would have had a subpar game, it would have busted down the door for Denzel Valentine to walk into that spotlight and possibly become the lead guy for National Player of the Year. He's already won the USA Today National Player of the Year Award. He's won the Big Ten Player of the Year Award as well. But Buddy Hield, last night against Oklahoma, against Iowa State. He plays for Oklahoma. What am I talking about? Oklahoma, a 79-76 win over Iowa State. Buddy Hield went off. The senior guard had 39 points in the contest, marking his 10th game of the year of 30-plus, which is equal to the rest of the players in the Big 12 combined. Are you kidding me? That's mind-boggling, right? Now, his 10 games of 30-plus this year is tied with Jack Gibbs of Davison for most in the country. It also marked his 23rd game this year of at least 20 points and 16th outing of at least 25. That's craziness. That's craziness. I could go on and on here. The contest marked Hield's highest career point total in a regulation game. He had 46 in a triple overtime game against Kansas on January 4th. Hield's 39 points also marked the second most points ever in a Big 12 tournament game. The record is 43 by Mike Singletary of Texas Tech back in 2009. Hield's 39 marked the most by any Sooner in the Big 12 tournament period. The previous record was 33 by Corey Brewer back in 1977. And his 14 made field goals marked a career high. That's crazy. And I really thought Buddy could have had a subpar game and it would have opened the door for Denzel Valentine. But no, that did not happen. Buddy Hield was absolutely fantastic. He had 21 after halftime, marking his 8th half of at least 20 points this season. So it's going to be tit for tat here. Denzel Valentine, again, the Michigan State Spartans, they play the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight. Denzel Valentine is going to have to be spectacular, like he's always been this entire year. This entire year, Denzel Valentine has been solid, but he's going to have to be spectacular once again tonight against Ohio State, a team that has been pretty competitive against Michigan State. And, you know, I should, looking at the last game, I don't know if I could say that because, you know, MSU has already beaten the Buckeyes twice this year, including that just 91-76 win. That was ugly. That was just a complete blowout. So I don't know about the last matchup, but, you know, it's an Ohio State team that is competitive, okay? And in those two wins against Ohio State, Denzel Valentine averaged 22 points, a little over 10 assists, 10.5 to be exact, while shooting 58% from the floor, including 9 of 13 from behind the arc. And his backcourt mate, his teammate dating back to the Lansing Sexton days, Bryn Forbes, who I think is the best shooter in the country right now. I knew you guys were going to. I took that pause, right, to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat because you thought I was going to say it again. But, again, I've said that Bryn Forbes, I remember tweeting out Bryn Forbes equals the best shooter in Michigan State men's basketball history. Then I got riddled with tweets, including Joe Rexroad of the Detroit Free Press tweeting me back saying, that, hey, have you seen Sean Respert? Have you checked out the Respert film from the 90s? And I had to go back to check out Sean Respert vintage SD footage. I tell you what, Sean could shoot. So I definitely need. You can make that argument though. Bryn Forbes though, when you look at his numbers and the way he shoots the basketball, oh, you can certainly make an argument. I can say that. But anyway, going back to my point, Denzel Valentine's backcourt mate Bryn Forbes, he scored 27 points and hit 7 of 10 threes in the first meeting against Ohio State, which was an 81-62 win on February 23rd in Columbus. So Michigan State has handled Ohio State pretty easily. But, you know, I don't think the final score really tells the whole story in those matchups because Ohio State was competitive throughout, you know, much of those games. But then Michigan State came out the woodworks and they were the Spartans. They were who we thought they were, okay? And I get this, though. Looking at Valentine, he's not only the only college player to ever average 19.7 boards and 7 assists since the assist stat became official back in 1983 to 84, but he's also in rare company among NBA players to do so. The only NBA players to reach that statistical mark are, get this, some pretty impressive company here. Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, John Havlicek, Grant Hill, LeBron James, Irvin Magic Johnson, the greatest basketball player ever, Michael Jordan, it's before my time. All right, Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook. Are you kidding me? That's crazy stuff. So again, Spartans, Buckeyes, tonight, Big Ten Tournament, 6:30 p.m. Should be a fun one. All right, another update here. Let's check it out. Let's hit the refresh button. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Not looking good for the Wolverines. It's now a 5-point game. Indiana has a 5-point lead. Again, still plenty of time left. 2 minutes left. 2 minutes left. Indiana with a 5-point lead over the Michigan Wolverines. All right, well, let's close out this week here on WKAR's Current Sports like we always do. We love to reflect on this day. We dub it Reflection Friday, where we take a look at some of the best stories that we covered throughout the week here on the show, and maybe a few stories that we didn't get a chance to discuss yet. Here we go. All right, folks, you hear the piano riff. Reflection Friday, where we close out the week that was here on Current Sports by bringing you some of our favorite stories and maybe a few stories that we didn't get a chance to highlight. I got to talk about the situation concerning DeMarcus Cousins and head coach George Karl of the Sacramento Kings. I just find it just it really bothers me anytime you start to see a prima donna mentality with a superstar athlete. DeMarcus Cousins, better known as Boogie. I mean, he's certainly, you know, you can make an argument. He's probably the best big man in the game next to Andre Drummond. And he's gotten into it with his head coach, George Karl, before. But this one was really ugly. So much so that Vlade Divac, the Kings' vice president of basketball operations and general manager, he announced disciplinary action on Thursday, saying that Cousins would sit out today's home game against the Orlando Magic. Now, get this. Video from Sacramento's 120-111 home loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday showed Cousins sitting on the bench and in the middle of the huddle yelling and heatedly gesturing with his arm at George Karl, who was only a couple feet away. Divac saw the tape and said, "Oh, no, we can't have this. We can't have this." And again, this is not the first time these two have gotten into it, okay? There was a moment earlier in the NBA year in which Cousins and Karl's gotten into it. And it was so bad that there was a rumor floating around the league that George Karl was going to be fired by the organization. That didn't happen. And talk about awkward. Talk about awkward after that. After that rumor swirls around, George Karl keeps the job and has to still coach DeMarcus Cousins. But at a certain point, there has to be a certain respect for your head coach. And this is something that DeMarcus Cousins clearly doesn't have. Clearly doesn't have. For one of the best coaches in NBA history. One of the best coaches in the game, without a doubt. But one of the best coaches, in my opinion, in NBA history. So I wanted to get that off my chest. DeMarcus Cousins, I really wish he was suspended more than one game. Also, want to shout out Kobe Bryant. He had 26 points versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, his final game against LeBron James. And also the Maria Sharapova incident, folks. I really think she should be suspended, but I think she's taking a lot of heat, more heat than she should be taking. That's just my thoughts on it, all right? If I miss something, folks, again, you can weigh in by going to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweeting me at AlMartinWKR. Again, I will be out in Indiana If Michigan State handles business and gets the dub over Ohio State, I will be out in Indiana covering the Big Ten tournament throughout the weekend. Keep it locked to WKAR.org for that. Thanks so much to Drew Hill for filling in for Isaac Constance throughout this entire week. He was fantastic. And also to Jeff Wanch for joining me on today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great weekend. And be easy, people.